Next on Westmoreland Saturday Morning, it's Heritage Happenings brought to you by St. Vincent College here on 98.7 Westmoreland Gold, 1480 WCNS, and this is gold.net.
How will your college experience transform you? How will you learn to make a difference in your life and the lives of others? At St. Vincent College, we attract high-achieving students who quite naturally place we ahead of me. A small college like St. Vincent gives you more access to the opportunities that will shape your future.
At St. Vincent College, we succeed together.
Together.
Discover the power of we. Learn more now at stvincent.edu.
Greetings, Westmoreland County. My name is Louise Henry, and I'm your guest host of Heritage Happenings here on 98.7 Westmoreland Gold, 1480 WCNS, and this is gold.net, sponsored by St. Vincent College. Heritage Happenings is also available as a podcast on all your favourite streaming services. Please check out Westmoreland Heritage at westmorelandheritage.org and on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram for updates on cultural and historical events throughout Westmoreland County. On today's show, we will be talking to the Lincoln Highway Experience about their upcoming events and programs. Then we'll get all the latest information from the Westmoreland Museum of American Art about their exhibitions and fabulous activities. So our first guest is Lauren Coker. She's the Executive Director of the Lincoln Highway Experience. And Lauren, I think, is going to talk about this year's Lincoln Highway Supermarket. So good morning, Lauren. It's nice to have you on the show.
Good morning, Louise. It's nice to be here.
Yay. So for those that are listening to the show or maybe the podcast later, can you just give us a very quick overview about the Lincoln Highway Experience?
Sure. So we are actually part of a sort of bigger organization called the Lincoln Highway Heritage Corridor. We're a designated Pennsylvania heritage area. So there's just 12 of us that focus all throughout the state of Pennsylvania that focus on the industrial history and heritage of various aspects of Pennsylvanian history. So things you can think of that we're part of, like Rivers of Steel is part of that, the oil heritage region up near the Venango County area, the Pennsylvania Wilds. So we cover actually the six counties from southwestern to sort of south central Pennsylvania. So we're in Laurel Highlands and Westmoreland and Somerset counties, but we also cover Bedford, Fulton, Franklin, and Adams County. But our museum, the Lincoln Highway Experience, is located here in Westmoreland County in Latrobe. So we cover the history of the Lincoln Highway from coast to coast with a focus on Pennsylvania, but we also cover all of the history, too.
Okay, so just to recap, the Lincoln Highway started in New York and goes right through the country to San Francisco, correct?
Correct, yes. It actually starts in Times Square.
Yes. So it's pretty cool, and you can drive that, and a lot of people do. They do it on the bucket list, and they do it on classic cars and motorbikes and just ordinary cars, and it's a thing to do, isn't it? Drive the Lincoln Highway. It's very cool, and you have got a very cool museum that is in Latrobe that people can swing by, stop, and learn more about the Lincoln Highway and get very nostalgic about small-town America. That's Lincoln Highway Experience.
And the experience is great. We have a restored 1930s diner that you can get pie and coffee in, included with your admission. We also have a 1937 Packard and an original tourist cabin from the 1920s, 1930s, as well as various other things to teach you about transportation history and the history of the Lincoln Highway. It's really quite an experience.
It is. I totally agree. Very hands-on, great for kids, great for all ages. Super-duper museum. I love it. I love the Lincoln Highway Experience. Especially the bit of pie at the end in the diner.
So, well, who doesn't love pie?
Right. Now let's talk about the supermarket, because this is returning. And what year are we in now? Are we in, like, is it year five, year six? I've lost track. How many years
it's
is
year
this?
Year eight.
Good grief. Year eight? Seriously? Gosh, yes. That's gone quick. Wow. Good. So tell us about the supermarket for those that don't know, because it's a very cool concept.
So it's an open-air food market, I guess is a way to put it, or like a food festival in some ways. It happens weekly throughout the summer. So starting in June and going through August for 13 weeks, Wednesdays from 5 to 8 in the evening, we open up our grounds. Cars can pay $5 to get in, and we just do it by car. So everybody comes in and they, we have picnic tables, but people can bring their own picnic blankets and chairs and things as well and set up there. And then we have several different food vendors, local food vendors. They have tables set up, special a la carte items that you can purchase at their booths. And then anybody in your group can purchase whatever they want. So you want to get something from Aroma Italiano, you can do that. You have somebody else who wants to go get it from another vendor, something completely different from another vendor, they can do that. And then we have live entertainment that performs as well that we pay for. And so it's just a great, relaxing summer evening event. It's BYOB too, so, you know, people just kick back, relax, listen to the music, and just low stress, nothing, you know, just right. Enjoying the nice summer evening.
It is a lovely thing to do. And it's every Wednesday, right?
Yes, every Wednesday starting June 2nd.
So Wednesdays, you don't have to cook dinner. We just drive up to the Lincoln Highway Experience, and it's from 5 to 8. Now, is it the same format as previous years, just checking in because of, you know, CDC guidelines, COVID-19, all that? Is there anything changed slightly for this year?
So actually, last year we did have to place certain restrictions. So we actually spray-painted lines for where people could put their picnic blankets if they wanted to. You know, use those, and we had the tables spaced out, you know, but so we did have to restrict how many people we allowed in. But actually it was still a very good event because it was one of the few things that was open that people were able to do still because it was outdoors. Mm-hmm. So people would wear their masks to go get their food, and then they go, you know, and sit down their places and be able to take off their masks and, you know, with their own little units. So we didn't have people mix. So this year we'll probably have a lot of the same. I don't see us changing up that format too much. We will be able to have more people due to restrictions lessening, but we still are asking groups of people who know each other to stick with each other and not really spread out. So that's something that we, you know, we're just doing to try to keep everybody kind of comfortable and safe. We have disinfecting for the tables and such as well. Although I will say, usually when someone stays at a table, they camp out there for a while. So
okay.
Not a whole lot of cleaning we have to do between people.
Okay. And one of the other rules is that you no outside food, you know, and no pets.
Yes. No outside food, no pets. You're allowed to bring, you know, it's BYOB, so you can bring your own alcoholic drinks that way if you want, but no other outside food.
Okay. And now, is there an admission cost as well for coming to the supper market?
Yes, it's $5 a car. So it doesn't matter how many people you have in that car, although if you bring a 18-wheeler filled with people in the back, we might question that.
Okay.
And then there's also the additional cost for the food you buy from the vendors.
Okay. Now, does this admission include going into the museum? Is the museum open on supper market nights?
No.
Okay.
So we do have the museum closed. However, the restrooms will be available.
Okay.
So
that's good to know. That is very good to know. So going back to the vendors, the food, you've always had local cafes, local restaurants that serve the food. So, and every year you kind of secure them for the whole season, correct? So who have you got coming? Who have you got secured so far for this year? Who's coming to be serving the food?
We have Aroma Italiano from downtown Latrobe, Chef Dodge's table from Derry, Connections Cafe, Grateful Smoke Barbecue, which is a food truck, and we also have, for the first time this year, Bella Terra Vineyards.
Oh,
will be coming as well.
Okay, all right.
And we're trying to secure two other vendors, so. we're working on that, though, but we always try to pick local. So
Of course. And Bella Terra, now, is that their bistro that's, or are they just serving wine? How's that working?
They're just serving wine.
Oh, okay. Okay, very nice. Excellent. So you've got, so that's some of the local restaurants, and you're going to get a couple more. And then, like you said earlier, you also do live music as well, which is really nice because you can, you know, get your food, find a place to sit down at the table or bring your own blanket or camp chair and then just chill for the evening, eat your food, listen to some music. So the live music, those are all local bands as well?
Yes, and they're great. Many of them are returning, although we have a couple of new musicians we haven't had here before. So some of the returning ones include Deja Vu, Detention, the Hamilton Avenue Band, Tim Roberts and Stacey Myers, Gas House Annie. New ones include Adam Fitz and Gary Stewart, Max Kiefer. We haven't had them before. So I think those gentlemen are more acoustic. But so it's usually a mix of people do, you know, like rock songs, well-known popular songs. Although Deja Vu is actually a jazz ensemble of two men. So we do try to switch it up a bit and make it different each time.
So different genres, you know, for, you know, different tastes that people like, so for each different week. That's nice. So is there anything else I'm missing we should talk about with the supermarket before you move on?
Well, I think that it's a really fun time, but come early.
Yes.
That is one thing we do run out of space. So I'd say if you want to come early.
And if it is going to be inclement weather, sadly, we do have a few storms in the summer. Do you still sort of cancel if it's looking like, ooh, ominous grey clouds? Do you let people know on Facebook and the website, that kind of thing?
Yes, we advertise on our social media accounts. So we have Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and as well as our website, lhhc.org. We will have a supermarket page on there. So if it's looking dodgy, the weather that day, check out those sources. By 1 o'clock, we usually make our decision whether we're going to cancel or not.
Right.
But it's not even just showers. We have actually canceled for extreme heat before, too. That doesn't happen as often, obviously, but it does has happened before.
That's a good point. Yes. So, again, supermarket, when's your first Wednesday?
June 2nd.
Right.
And then we're going through August 25th.
Okay, so every Wednesday, unless it's stormy or extremely hot, $5 to get in. You can bring your own camp chairs and blankets, live music, great food, all local. What's there not to like, right?
It's a brilliant
evening, and you don't have to cook. Don't cook on Wednesdays. Go to Lincoln Highway Experience.
It is a low stress event, so if you just need to unwind, this is perfect.
We like low stress and unwinding. That's good. Lauren, we are almost out of time. We've got just about a minute left. Would you like to just share like museum hours, your social media accounts again, anything that listeners would like to know?
Sure. We are open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. We are a great place for adults who are nostalgic about the Lincoln Highway to go to, but also a great place for kids, too. We have a lot of interactive experiences. You can find us on social media at Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And you can also visit our website, lhhc.org, where we will have other information for future events and information on supermarket.
I think that's it. That's brilliant. I must say, everyone, if you haven't had an opportunity, do go and visit Lincoln Highway Experience. It is a fun museum. I always enjoy sitting down and watching your video right at the beginning of the tour, because it's just such a lovely overview of the Laurel Highlands and just nostalgic small town America. And I know it just gets you in the mood to then walk through the museum and then have your slice of pie and coffee in the diner at the end too. So Lauren, it's been a pleasure to chat to you. I wish you the very best supermarket season. I hope it's sunny every Wednesday and you get everyone out enjoying local food, local live music, and have a great year. We all deserve it, right?
Yes, thank you so much, Louise. And we hope to see you and everybody else there.
Absolutely. All right, you take care.
All right, you too.
Thanks, bye.
Bye.
This is Heritage Happenings, the show with the latest information on Westmoreland County cultural and historic events and organizations. I'm Louise Henry, your guest host. Thank you to our sponsor, St. Vincent College, for supporting our show today. Our next guest is Anne Craybill. She's the Richard M. Scaife Director and CEO of the Westmoreland Museum of American Art in Greensburg. She's on call with us. And Anne is going to share some information about the upcoming exhibition, Border Cantos Sonic Border Exhibition. So, Anne, thank you so much for being on call today.
Thanks so much for having me, Louise.
It's so good to hear from you. Before we get cracking with the talking about the exhibition, can you just share with the listeners just a quick overview of the Museum of American Art?
Absolutely. So the Westmoreland Museum of American Art is in Greensburg, as you mentioned, just outside of the Pittsburgh metro area. And we are a museum of American art collecting, you know, from about the mid 18th century into contemporary. We are also a free admission museum, so we really believe that everybody should have access to our collections and be able to participate in our program. So we encourage everybody to please come and visit.
Brilliant. So it's an exceptional museum. I very much enjoy walking around and seeing the exhibits. Now, tell us about your new exhibition that is coming up, and it's called Border Cantos.
Yes, so Border Cantos, Sonic Border is a traveling exhibition that was organized by Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art in Bentonville, Arkansas, which is actually the organization that I used to work with before taking the helm of the Westmoreland. So we have brought this exhibition here and augmented it with some additional loans from both of the artists. It's a collaboration between American photographer Richard Mizrach and Mexican-American artist and composer Guillermo Galindo. And the two of them respond in very different ways to the physical and psychological divide between the U.S. and Mexico through this exhibition that blends Richard's photography with Guillermo's sculpture and sound and found objects. So he essentially creates these instruments from ephemera that were collected by Richard. Richard sent them to Guillermo, and through that he creates this incredible, what he calls sonic border, which is the idea that sound, you know, sound doesn't have a barrier or a border. It's going to travel through this wall. And he creates a symphony that is based on the Mayan calendar. Richard, he creates these incredible mural-sized photographs of the border wall, and really looking at the human interaction with the border wall, but you don't necessarily see figures in the majority of his photographs. And he has cantos, which is based on a poem by Ezra Pound, but there's eight cantos in the series. So one of the cantos is on water. One of the cantos is on tire drags, the equipment that Border Patrol use to clear the roadway of footprints so that they can take a look at migrants trying to cross into the United States. And so in doing this, he really does pose the question, both of the artists pose the question of what is the role of art in political discourse? And, you know, can we imagine going to this place, a place that many, many Americans have never been to before? And can we imagine, you know, the human experience of this journey? Neither one of them present a policy position or an answer. They I think, are just actually asking more questions of the audience. So we're really excited to have this here so that our community can engage in this discussion, which is, frankly, a pretty topical topic right now.
Right. Absolutely. So you're saying about the medium. So it's basically a photography. And from what I'm reading, from what the notes you gave me, he's photographed the entire length of the border. That, you know, that's, and there's apparently there's quite a diverse kinds of fencing. Is that right?
Yes. So he traveled all of the different areas of the border, which is substantial, about 3,000 miles. Most of it was in Texas, but there were some in Arizona as well. And all of the different types of fencing, you know, that is out there, from incredibly, you know, tall, you know, it's almost like a picket fence, but very, very tall, to fencing that looks almost like the fencing that you would have seen in World War II. And, you know, kind of how sometimes the fence just arbitrarily ends, and you can literally walk around it in a circle, and how sometimes it's really more of a symbol rather than an actual barrier.
I find it incredible that, you know, he's covered such mileage. How long has it taken him to photograph the entire fence, the border?
He started really with a Desert Canto series in 2004, and that started to shift into the wall in 2009. But this specific project, this collaboration, really arose from a chance encounter that Richard Mizrak, the photographer, had with Guillermo Galindo, where in 2011 he attended a performance. Both of them are in the Bay Area in California. He attended a performance by Guillermo and really just thought, this is such a compelling juxtaposition with my visual photographs, to be able to hear musical instruments created from objects found at the Mexican-American border. And so the following year, the two of them started working together. So this has been years in the making, since 2011.
Right.
Over three administrations, the two of them have partnered collaboratively. And he really looks at it as kind of building bridges between their artistic practice, but also cultural. Guillermo is a Mexican-American artist. He has a very different background than Richard, who felt like, there was a kind of interesting parallel in the idea of a bridge versus a wall.
It's absolutely fascinating that Galindo he's actually sort of recreated the different sounds that you would find in along the border. You mentioned in your notes the buzzing of drones overhead. The borderland has its own soundtrack. So he's recreated that and then blended it with the photographs. So you're getting a real immersive kind of experience when you're going to go to the museum to see this exhibition.
Yes. So Guillermo's installation is, I believe, 9 musical instruments, and they are all electronically connected. So what you're going to hear is an immersive symphony of these instruments together. And, they really do cascade into a very large sound. We've also borrowed 2 very, very large sculptures that are also musical instruments that will be placed in conversation with Richard's photographs. One of those is actually has a piece of the wall hanging, and it's meant to be sort of like a drum. So you're gonna be immersed into actually seeing this piece of this border wall in conversation with Richard's photographs of the border. So it is meant to be a really just multi-sensory experience, not just visual, which is exciting. I will say the other really exciting thing for us that we've never done before is this will be the first time that we will have bilingual translation. So every single text panel, every single word that is in the exhibition will be translated into Spanish as well.
That's great. That's really good. Just being totally inclusive. You have the interactive element as well for visitors. And I also understand you've got quite a few events that are going to complement this exhibition coming up as well.
Yes, we do. There's a few events that I'm personally really looking forward to, and I encourage our visitors to attend and learn more about. We are going to open the exhibition Friday with a performance, May 28th, Friday at 7 p.m. This is, of course, a virtual performance because of COVID restrictions, but Guillermo will do a performance. All of these instruments are able to be performed, and then he will have a live Q&A, so there'll be an opportunity for attendees to directly ask questions of him. He will be in the galleries for the Q&A because he will have been here calibrating all of his instruments for the exhibition. So that's very exciting. We are going to also have a conversation with our chief curator, Barbara Jones, and photographer Richard Mizrak on Wednesday, June 30th at 7 p.m. A great opportunity to hear directly from Richard about what motivated him to do this work, his experience in photographing this series, and then ask any other direct questions of him. And then another event that I'm really excited about, we had started these culinary experiences before COVID and had to take a break because it just wasn't safe to dine together. But we are going to be actually having an in-person dinner with the Community Kitchen of Pittsburgh on Saturday, August 7th. And to be safe, we will do this dining experience outside and have tables and pods, so that we can safely gather, but also break bread together and learn about dishes from Central and South America that really highlight the culture of all of those different countries.
There's nothing like food that brings people together, I feel, in a good tasting Mexican dish and then good food. I think.
Yeah, I agree. We're really excited.
I think that's a great one. And we've only got a couple of minutes left. What else would you like to share about the museum? Anything else that's happening? Any changes due to, you know, the restrictions changing, you know, CDC guidelines? Anything you'd like to share with us?
Yeah, so we, you know, of course, have a robust slate of online programs, but we are starting to venture into some more outdoor experiences as well. So you can go to our website at www.thewestmoreland.org to learn more about that. But some highlights that I'd love for folks to check out is our virtual drag queen art critique. It's always so much fun. We will also be having an in-person pride celebration outside. And we'll have two summer movie nights outside as well. So we are starting to gather in person safely in the outdoors. And then if folks are just coming in to visit during our open hours, we also wanted to let them know that our cafe is open, Cafe Marchand, with grab-and-go service and a signature drink menu. And then we've partnered with some restaurants downtown. So if you wanted to have lunch delivered up at the museum, you can do that too.
Wow, I didn't know that. That's very cool. Very cool indeed. I like the idea of that. You said that you just mentioned the summer. You're having some summer movies?
Yes. So out in the parking lot, we are going to be having two movies, the original John Waters Hairspray, which is one of my favorites, having grown up in Baltimore, and Best in Show, which is, you know, a mockumentary, hilarious about that dog show. So we're hoping that folks will actually come and bring their dogs and enjoy the movie.
Oh, that sounds so brilliant. Do you have a date on those, or is it, are you still sort of firming things up?
Still firming things up, but if you go to the website, everything should be listed there, and you know, you can register online, and of course follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter.
Okay, it's been great chatting to you. We are out of time. Best of luck with everything opening back up. I hope it's a great year and lots of visitors. And I'll be up. That sounds fun. The summer movies and the actual community kitchen event too sounds great.
I hope to see you there. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Anne. This is Heritage Happenings, the show with the latest information on Westmoreland County cultural and historical events and organisations. I'm your guest host, Louise Henry. Thanks to our sponsor, St. Vincent College, for supporting our show today. Before we close, we have a quick announcement to share from St. Vincent College, our show sponsor. St. Vincent College presented awards to faculty and students at the virtual Spring Honours Convocation recorded May 5th in the historic St. Vincent Archabbey Basilica. Michael B. Downey, Principal and Vice President of Avison Young Commercial Real Estate's Pittsburgh office, served as commencement speaker. Congratulations to all St. Vincent College graduating students. To learn more about the Spring Convocation, please visit stvincent.edu/news. That's all we have time for today. Be sure to stay safe and healthy. Take some time to visit and enjoy our Westmoreland County cultural and historic sites and events. And of course, be sure to check out St. Vincent College and all of its recent accomplishments. Follow Westmoreland Heritage on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram, and check out all of our information on westmorelandheritage.org. This has been Louise Henry, your guest host for Heritage Happenings on 98.7 Westmoreland Gold, 1480 WCNS and thisisgold.net, sponsored by St. Vincent College. Heritage Happenings is also available as a podcast on all of your favourite streaming services. I hope you've enjoyed today's show. Until next time, goodbye.